It is Today FM, and I'm delighted to have Noel Hogan from the Cranberries on the line. Noel, how are you, sir?
I'm great, thank you.
I am absolutely delighted. The Grammys 2020, nominated for Best Rock Album. What an achievement for In The End, which of course was recorded using vocal demos of Dolores that were recorded before January 2018. This is big news. And do you know something? When you see something like this happening, that wasn't an easy album for you guys to make. It's bittersweet, but it's well-deserved.
Thank you. Yeah, it is bittersweet. I mean, she would be absolutely, you know, over the moon with this news, because it's something that's kind of escaped us for really nearly 30 years, even at the height of the band through the 90s. It was not anything that ever came up. We were kind of really unaware of it in many ways. So now at this point in our career, we really thought, you know, that boat had sailed. It was something we would never be considered for. And given the way the album came about and everything that happened in the past 2 years, this is it's bittersweet, but it's a really, really nice surprise for us.
As albums go, In The End, for me, even if you look at the cover of the album, it depicts the band as kids, which really and truly is quite poignant, because you guys were kids when you started off as the Cranberry Sauce.
Yeah, we were. You only realise that in the last few years, but you start to see more photos, and you kind of, you know, people were showing you pictures, and like even the recordings, we sound so young in those things. So, like that album cover came about by a guy who's worked on a lot of our album covers, had that idea as, you know, us as kids, because it was the last Cranberries album, and also passing on the music to the next generation. I think it kind of works in both ways.
Oh, absolutely. There's some beautiful songs on there. A big one for me is Lost, and I know that this was quite a sensitive one for you too as well. It's one you had to walk away from a few times when you were mixing down with the demo.
Yeah, exactly. It was the hardest one to listen to, and I think you can hear it in Dolores' voice, and it's how vulnerable she almost sounds in that track. But it was one that, you know, was definitely going to make the album. We knew from the start. It was it's a very emotional song, and I think we've done it justice with the final version.
Absolutely. Now, there is, like, I know some of the tracks on here, like In The End, the final lyrics at the end, it's strange when everything that you dreamt of was nothing that you dreamt of in the end. And that is that in itself speaks volumes. I mean, this is a period of Dolores' life where, you know, she had come to the end of a lot of troubles, and she was in a very positive place. But when you look at this, it's kind of, I know that message is there. It's kind of like, wow, this is... It's so unusual that things worked out. Even then, it's all over now. Do you remember the place in a hotel in London, a scar on her face? Oh, God. Like, it's, when you look at the lyrics, it's like, wow. And we knew nothing. Like, I mean, you were talking to her on the Friday beforehand about mixing down these. She was off buying furniture for a brand new house in Limerick. It's strange. It's so surreal.
Yeah, it is. And it made it that little bit more harder to kind of accept everything when Dolores passed away, because you knew she had turned a corner and things were going really, really well and everything was so positive. So to take that news on board, especially those first couple of months, it was a real struggle to kind of figure out, you know, what exactly happened. Kind of it constantly felt like someone had just kind of got things wrong a little bit. Obviously they hadn't, but I mean, it just... Doing this album was like a therapy, I guess, for us in some ways as well. And you're listening to those lyrics, and we knew doing it, people could read another thing into them, because there is a lot of kind of subject of things ending. But
it's a discussion into things being left behind.
Yeah.
I got that vibe from Dolores on that album. It's like, I have so much to say here.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think they're probably, if not her strongest, some of her strongest in lyrics in such a long time. And I'm glad we did it, because to leave that album sitting on a shelf on a hard drive somewhere forever would have been, you know, the wrong thing to do.
Absolutely. Now, you're going to be in the Staples Center in LA, January 25th. I mean, 10 days after Dolores' anniversary. And I mean, this is an album that when you recorded, and I think yourself, Mike and Ferg, you knew yourselves, like, this is an album we're going to record and we're not going to get to perform, which is one of the biggest parts of the Cranberries, is actually performing your songs.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That's hard.
Yeah, it still is. It's a hard pill to swallow, as to say. Because you hear the songs, I don't listen to it every day, but when the song comes on, wherever, you still wonder what it would be like live. And it's something, you know, that we've had to kind of struggle with a little bit, because, you know, we've had requests to do it live, and, you know, you don't know what to do. We don't know what the right thing is to do. And it's been our second nature for so long to record an album and then just go and tour it. So it's very, very strange to not be able to do that.
I've always admired about the Cranberries. So even if we go back to the debut album, everyone else is doing it, so why can't we? It's like the title of that album, and then you do it. 1993, Support and Suede, Brett Anderson and the boys, and things took off for you guys. Didn't really take off for Suede, but for you guys, it took off to a stage that you were playing two gigs a night in America, which is... Yeah. God, hard grafting, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we, you know, again, it's that thing of age, isn't it? You know, you're 18 or 19, you're touring America, and you don't have a care in the world, and someone says, do two gigs, you just go, okay, yeah, it's fine. So, and we did, we had that attitude for a very, very long time, and as you said, it paid off. You kind of get out of it what you put into it. The fact that we loved doing it as well was a massive help.
Yeah, you had this unique sound always, and I've always put that down to a testament to, first of all, the creativity behind you guys, yourself, Mike and Ferg, but not only that, for Dolores herself with the voice. You know, there's a great story, and I've heard it told several times, where, you know, she was singing with choirs and somebody had tried to give her vocal training and she went, right, that's not for me.
Yeah.
And like, you're talking about someone with a unique voice that, you know, sang with choirs and sang with Glenstall Monks, and that Shannos vibe that Manny's the story I've heard.
Yeah.
Well, it's been in your own company, even about like nights after Cranberries gigs, where she break into a Shannos song that nobody had heard before, which is amazing.
Yeah, she loved all that. And I mean, over the years, we've had various managers who would say, oh, you know, you should go and get vocal training and all this to kind of get rid of any kind of bad habits. But those were the things she loved about her own voice, that she knew she had this thing, and she would always worry that by going and taking lessons, you would lose that, because it's just... You know, she's known for that voice, and I think we all know how well she could sing. So, thankfully, she kind of shunned away from that side of it always.
Yeah, and the boundaries you broke as well, when you think of it in the 90s, there weren't too many bands that were just singing about things as they were. This is quite prevalent too as well, but no need to argue, because a lot of people think that Zombie was just a song that arrived there. That song had been around for ages before that.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys had played that all over the place, and it's a song which is about conflict, but I mean, it's like Dolores comes in, a child had passed away, she goes, no, I want this, I want you to get the distortion pedals out, we need to, you know, and that to me is... a development of a sound that didn't exist before her.
Yeah, like if I remember rightly, we were playing that at kind of local gigs here in Limerick a long, long time before we ever got to record it. It was probably written in around the time of the first album. So it just, for us, it was another song in the set. We had absolutely no idea how big that song was going to end up. And Dolores always wrote, like lyrically, she just wrote about what she felt. She felt really strongly about, and didn't really care what people were going to think of it afterwards. And that honesty, I think, is what people picked up on.
Absolutely, and it's so prevalent. I mean, the album is called In the End, but I mean, it's the gift that keeps on giving. This, I mean, in fairness, we have, when you think about it, like, you know what I mean, we've got an opportunity, and it's fair play to you guys for it, because I know you had the support of Dolores' family as well, but you guys were the guys who worked it together, had to listen to those demos over hours and hours and put it together. And it's just to see it now nominated for a Grammy Award for Best Rock Album, I think there isn't a smile that doesn't exist on faces all over the country for you guys.
Yeah, like, we're so grateful. It's really hard to put into words, because you could have knocked us over with a feather when we found out a few days ago. We were just absolutely shocked, because you think back to, you know, almost 2 years ago, I guess the band was at its kind of darkest moment. You know, we lost Dolores, and then we weren't sure what was going to happen. And out of that, this album came, you know, became, and we were so proud of this album. And then to end up with it being nominated for a Grammy, I mean, it was just... You know, that everything aligned into one thing for in the proper way for once.
Yeah, and I mean, and hopefully now the reward will be there. And I really mean that, Noel, because
you
guys have grafted hard there. Last time I spoke to you, you had mentioned that, you know, you had recorded footage and stuff like that. There was talks of a Cranberries documentary. Is that still in the pipeline?
It's still, yeah. We're absolutely rubbish at getting things together. Like.
Which is, I don't know, I wouldn't finish it just yet.
Yeah.
I'd maybe wait until the 25th of January before you go wrapping things up.
Exactly. You know, so we're getting there. It just... The start of this year, obviously, with this album coming out, it took up an awful lot of time, and it got to the point by June, we were all a bit burnt out between spending most of last year getting the album together. So we took the kind of summer out, and it's really only in the last few weeks that we've been kind of emailing each other and kind of getting things going again for the documentary. So I would expect, hopefully maybe in 18 months' time it'll be released.
Wow, and I look forward to seeing that. Well, listen, congratulations to yourself, Mike Ferg, all the crew. A fabulous body of work. And listen, the best of luck at the Grammys on January 25th.
Thanks, Ferg. Cheers, thank you. Fergal Darcy, Today FM.